So we need a job, something that runs once a day, reads a few tables, writes one. Where does that even go?
Start with a folder called CMD. Every binary this repo builds has a directory in there, and the directory name is the binary name. Ours is pricing graph sync.
And what is inside it?
One file, main.go, 120 lines, and almost none of it is logic.
120 lines of what then?
Opening things, it opens three database handles, and which three tells you most of the story. A read-only handle across every chain instance, because pools live on the chain's own database. A read-write handle to the chain's primary, because the job writes ticker mappings there. And one to pricing DB, where the answer goes.
Three handles for one job feels like a lot.
It is the honest number. Two of those databases are physically different machines. The last thing main does is construct two clients and call sync once. That is the whole file.
Then the real work is somewhere else.
Under internal ETL two packages, pricing market sync and pricing graph sync again. Same name as the binary, different thing. The binary is how it runs. The package is what it does.
Two packages for one job, why not one?
They write to different databases. Pricing market sync gives tickers coin identifiers in ChainDB. Pricing graph sync writes aliases into pricing DB different tables, different failure modes.
Fine, but if they are separate packages, how does the second one know the first exists?
It does not, and this is the part I actually like. Open pricing graph sync sync.go and the first thing you meet is four interfaces and each has exactly one method.
Four, name them.
Mapper with one method called sync, markets with resolve symbols to addresses, pools with get swap pool pairs for chain, and store with replace pricing graph edges.
So the package declares what it needs, rather than importing whoever provides it.
Declared where it is used, which is the rule here. The derivation never says the word ChainDB for those calls. It says, give me something that can turn tickers into addresses.
And who decides what actually gets passed?
Main, that is what those 120 lines are for. Main is the only file that knows both sides. It hands the ChainDB handle in as markets, the pricing DB client in as store, and the mapping client in as mapper.
So if I want to know what really runs, I read main. If I want to know what it needs, I read the interfaces.
That is the whole navigation trick for this repo.
All right, walk me through one run.
Sync in pricing graph sync sync.go, first line of real work calls mapper.sync, and that is the other package running first.
Why first?
Because a ticker with no coin identifier resolves to no address. Deriving before mapping would drop every market whose ticker this run was about to learn. Holding the mapper as a dependency is what makes the order impossible to get wrong.
What comes back from it?
A map venue name to the markets that venue priced, and that return value is the point. The derivation uses that snapshot rather than asking the database again.
Because the answer might have changed in between.
A market listed between the two reads would land in the second answer with tickers the first run never mapped. One read, one snapshot, no gap.
Then what?
A function called markets from every venue. It flattens that map into one list of market names and refuses if any configured venue is missing from it.
Refuses how?
Returns an error and nothing gets written. A venue silent for a day looks exactly like a venue that delisted everything, and the write replaces the whole table, so believing the silence would delete every alias only that venue supports.
That is a lot of consequence for an empty map key.
It is one if statement. It is also the difference between an outage costing you a day and an outage costing you the table.
Keep going, we have a list of market names.
Now per chain, derive chain calls two of those interfaces, resolve symbols to addresses and get swap pool pairs for chain. Both land in internal ChainDB pricing.go.
What do they actually do?
The first takes tickers and returns for each one the addresses it trades at on that chain. Only confirmed rows count, and it declines a ticker the confirmed rows disagree about. The second returns every distinct token pair held by a pool on that chain.
So one gives me addresses I am looking for, the other gives me pairs that exist.
And then the actual algorithm, which is one function called deriveEdges, and it is about 40 lines.
40 lines is the feature.
40 lines is the feature. It builds a map keyed by token pair. For every market, for every address its base resolves to, for every address its quote resolves to, it records that pair as an alias of that market, and it records the reversed pair too, marked inverted.
Both orders.
Both orders because a pool holding the same two tokens the other way round quotes the reciprocal. It is still that market. Then it walks the pools, and any pool whose pair is in that map becomes an edge.
And the writing.
Internal pricing DB client.go replace pricing graph edges. It flattens the edges into arrays and hands them to one SQL statement.
One statement for the whole table.
Which is the last thing worth knowing. That statement deletes every row the derivation did not produce, inserts the new ones, and updates only rows whose direction changed. Replace in meaning, incremental in what Postgres actually rewrites.
How many rows does a real run touch?
596 edges derived, 2 rows written, on a run where nothing had changed.
So the whole thing is what, 6 files?
6 main wires it, 2 packages do it, 2 database files answer it, 1 SQL statement lands it. Everything else in the change is tests, a migration, and a manifest.
And if I only had time to read one?
Derive edges, everything else is plumbing that exists, so those 40 lines have their inputs.